You're listening to Vatican News. Today, August 22nd, marks the International Day commemorating victims of acts of violence based on religion or belief. Among those who are observing this International Day is the Pontifical Charity Aid to the Church in Need, ACN, which says not enough is being done to tackle the issue of religious persecution. Dr. Carolyn Hull is National Director of ACN UK. Speaking with Lydia O'Kane, she called on the British government to take action to ensure violations of freedom of religion or belief are brought to an end.
Why isn't enough being done to stamp out religious-based violence?
I think it stems from a basic point, which is that these things start out potentially culturally, and they become embedded in society and then politicized, so they can actually become embedded in the governmental structure of a region or a country or even a group of countries. And that's this idea that somebody whose belief system is different from yours can be treated as if they have less value, really. And once this is institutionalized, then this kind of bigotry is institutionalized, then it's very easy to scapegoat individuals or whole groups whenever things are going difficultly. You know, it's possible. Sometimes we see these violent acts based on religion or belief carried out, you know, just for the sake of it. But increasingly, you know, it will be chalked up to other issues, poverty or land disputes or even climate change. But, you know, when you have situations like we saw in Pentecost Sunday, mass that was taking place inside a church was targeted, and many people died and many more people were injured. You know, you can't blame that on something else. You know, that is a group being targeted for religious reasons in a place where they are peaceably carrying out their faith and worshiping. So I think that there is just an unwillingness to bring these institutionalized attitudes to the fore and to stamp them out.
As Aid to the Church in Need, what would you like to see being done on behalf of governments and indeed as Aid to the Church in Need UK, the British government?
I think this works on two levels. Here in the UK, we've just hosted in the beginning of July the Ministerial for Freedom of Religion or Belief. And there were representatives of many, many religions around the world. And I think it was 126 countries. And we all came together to talk about issues such as discrimination and more violent persecution against people. It was very interesting because we did put our cards on the table and we did bring things up, but we're waiting to see what concrete actions will come out of that. I was sitting at a prayer breakfast one morning at the ministerial, which is what brought about the first minister resignation, which led eventually to the collapse of our current government. So we're now in the process of electing or choosing a new prime minister. And that the timing of that was particularly unfortunate because I think, you know, that will put everything on hold. So in terms of specific issues here in the UK, at Aid to the Church in Need, we've been working for the past couple of years to ask that asylum be granted here in the UK to a young Pakistani Christian woman called Myra Shabazz, who was kidnapped when she was 14, raped, forced to convert to Islam, and then marry her abductor. And it went back and forth in the courts, and eventually she escaped. But she's been living and hiding in one room with her mother and siblings for pushing 2 years now, and they're terrified. You know, they will be killed. And so, you know, we are working with our with various parliamentarians who are supportive of this request for asylum. And I feel like that would be a straightforward thing that the UK government could do that would help this one poor individual girl, but would also make a statement. And I think those bigger statements are also really important. You know, we send out an awful lot of overseas aid. We have trade relationships with countries with appalling records when it comes to violence against people based on their religion or belief. So taking a stand against all of that and asking countries we're providing support for to themselves take a stand, make a difference, and allow everybody to be treated, you know, equally as human beings is really important. And I think that's something that the UK government can and should do. And, you know, Nigeria is another example. You know, it's in a really difficult situation now, and it's the most populous state in Africa, I believe, and it's important that it stays, that it doesn't fall, because that will have a knock-on effect for the whole region. But again, you know, the government needs to, you know, just say it as it is, you know, that people are being targeted on the basis that their faith or religion is not that of the group that's in charge, and therefore it needs to be dealt with, to be uninstitutionalized, so that everyone is treated fairly.
What about, I mean, you were talking there about Nigeria, you were talking about Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Are they some of the key countries that are experiencing discrimination and violence, or are there others as well?
Well, there are plenty of others. So aside from Pakistan, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Mozambique, North Korea, China, and then there are places where there have been, there still are occasionally, but, you know, the countries, for instance, in the Middle East that have undergone, you know, tremendous tribulation and suffering. And now the suffering may have changed a bit, and it might not be as violent as it has been in the past, but there is still the, you know, knock-on effect of people who are being treated differently and treated less humanely because of their beliefs. So there are quite a few countries, and sometimes it is extremism and hyper-extremism, most often associated, you know, it's Islamist extremism or hyper-extremism, but, you know, not always, can be from other faith or political groups. And sometimes it's a question of the regime. So it could be authoritarianism instead, or just senses of ethnic nationalism where it's tied into a specific religion. So the reasons are different, but unfortunately the countries are growing in number where we can find these problems.
ACN is due to launch a new report mm-hmm. Entitled Persecuted and Forgotten, a report on Christians persecuted for their faith, and it covers the period of 2020 to 22. What can we expect from this report?
Obviously, ACN stands for freedom for everyone, you know, everyone of all religion and beliefs, as long as they're not hurting each other or anyone else. But we are a Catholic charity, and we do focus most of our work on Christians who are suffering from discrimination and persecution. And there are millions of them around the world. And I think here in the West, that's quite a hard thing for us to get our heads around. But it is the case. So our Persecuted and Forgotten report looks at 24 countries where the concern is greatest for the Christian communities living there. And unfortunately, we're going to see with this new report that, as you say, covers the last 2 years, we're going to see that in many of these countries, the situation has grown worse since the previous report, which covered 2017 to 2019. One of the important shifts that we're seeing is that Africa is becoming a new sort of hub for this kind of danger, you know, these acts of violence based on religion, particularly to religious minorities, but particularly to Christians. So it's a shift away from other areas like the Middle East, where there are still obviously many problems, but Africa seems to be hotting up.